I brought an old chorus book today. I sent this off to a chaplain's department back in 1993, and it made its way back to me out of the prison system. A lot of good stuff in there. Maybe we'll sing one here in a minute. You never know what might happen. Because I'm going to tell you what, when the Father shows up, look out. When He shows up, there is no telling what can happen. When He gets a hold of a person's heart, it so radically changes our lives. I'm going to tell you what, if you haven't experienced that radical change in your life, you need to. You need to draw closer to Him, because I'm going to guarantee you, like I've been saying for the last year, there's more. There's more than salvation. There's more than that initial confession. There's more to Him, and it's all in this book right here, and it's all in prayer. And, you know, we've been talking about, over the last couple of Sundays, two Sundays ago, we talked about God is able. God is able to help you. He's able to save you. He's able to fill you. He is able. He is willing. He's willing to do this, you know? I mean, you look at us and you say, I don't know. I don't know if you're worth it. Well, let me tell you something. To God, you are worth it. You are worth it. God is able. God is willing. And He is here. He said He inhabits the praises of His people. I don't know if y'all feel Him in this place, but I do. I'm going to tell you, I relish being amongst God's folks. Because I'm going to tell you what, He shows up every time, one way, shape, or form. He's always there. Just the same as He is in my time of prayer, as He is in a church service, as He is in a hospital room. He can be there to be your Father. He can be there to be your healer. He can be the one that comes when you're at the end of your rope. And all of a sudden, you got more rope. I'm telling you, He can do it. He spoke to nothing and something appeared. You don't think that He can't help us? He created us. By His breath we live. It just gets more awesome if you just get more of the Word. It just gets better if you get more of the Word. So He is able, He is willing, and He is here. And then last Sunday we talked about, how do you know God? How do you know God? You know, the patriarchs knew Him as Jehovah. They knew Him as God Almighty. And then when Moses came along with the children of Israel, he said, now they knew me as Jehovah, but you're going to know me as Lord. You're going to know me as I Am. And then they knew Him as healer. They knew Him as provider. They knew Him as protector. They knew Him as their ultimate peace. They knew Him all kinds of ways. They knew Him as Elohim, which is my God, which supplies everything. He is the richest in the universe. He owns it all. It is all possessed by Him. And He can supply it for you. But we, through the Lord Jesus Christ, have the privilege of knowing Him as Father. I don't know about y'all, but that's probably the best way to know Him, because that is the most intimate way to know someone, is to know them exactly who they are in your heart. Each and every one of us need that. We need that. We need that relationship. You know, there are some things that we need to know Him Father. We need to know some things to know Him as our Father. You think about, I've got a short list of things here. The first thing that is necessary is total surrender. Total surrender. Matthew 22, 37. But if you'll put that up. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." Total surrender. Does that sound like everything who you are? All your heart, your soul, and your mind? Sound like everything to me. I don't think He left anything out. That to me is total surrender. You don't do something without Him. You don't say something without Him. You don't think anything without Him when you are totally surrendered to Him. That is one way of knowing God as Father. See, that's the difference between the patriarchs of old and the New Testament church, is knowing God as Father. They don't know Him. They knew Him as God. They knew Him as the Almighty One. They knew Him as Lord, but we get to know Him as Father. We get to have a little bit closer relationship with Him, and we do it through total surrender. We can put no one before Him. Y'all know what the first commandment is, don't you? Thou shalt have no other gods before Me. Does that sound like total surrender to you? You don't have anything else in your life that has control of you except Him. Because if you have other stuff that you put in front of Him that has control over you, you're not following Him. You're not totally surrendered. Can I tell you that's part of it? Because if you're not, you're going to go the wrong way. You're going to get off on chasing rabbits. You're going to get out there where you ought not be. You're going to get in trouble. I guarantee you will. But you know, as a father, if you know Him as Father, you know something? The Father ain't going to let you get too far out. And He's going to bring you back. Or He'll make you wish you had to come back. He'll bring you back. He'll grab a hold of you by the nape of your neck. You ever had Him do that? Hey, I'm going to tell you what. He deals with us just like we understand. He wants total surrender. Be my Father. You know, my dad was good at correcting me. I don't remember but about five times that my dad ever laid a hand on me for corporal punishment. I mean, you'd have thought I'd have got smarter after the first time, but it took four more. But you know something? I love my daddy. My daddy would have done anything for me. And he did. And it wasn't until later in life that I really fully appreciated everything that he did for me. When I was having to do those same things for my sons, I had a greater appreciation. See, when we step up into that role, we ought to have a greater appreciation for God as Father. No one before Him. Total surrender. Have you done that? See, only you can answer that question. I can only ask you the question, but you are the only one that can answer that question. You know something? If you read Matthew 22, 37 there, you'll notice that He didn't say your money. He didn't say He wanted your money, that you love your money, that you, for Him, He didn't say anything about that. He just wants you. Because you see, there are those that love to give, but not of themselves. There are those that want to put off that responsibility. Well, here's $1,000. You go take care of that. That way I don't have to. That's not what God's looking for. He wants your heart, soul, and mind. You know, I've told congregation before, don't give God your tips, give Him your first fruits. Pay the bill. He ain't looking for your leftovers. We're not preaching about giving today. We're preaching about God as our Father. That's just free. Y'all can take that for what it's worth. You cannot serve or love God when you serve and love other gods. Can't do it. He's a jealous God. He will have no one before Him. Total surrender. And then you can know Him as Father. The second one, intentional and complete obedience. Intentionally. You know, there's a lot of things we do. We intentionally set things up in order. Did you know that if you're going to plant a garden, you have to intentionally prepare that soil? You don't just run out there and start throwing seed in the ground. You intentionally prepare that soil. He wants intentional obedience. Obedience to Him first and everything else second. Because I promise you, if you will be obedient to Him, everything else will fall into place. Everything else will line right up in obedience to Him. But 1 Samuel 15:22, you know, Saul, he was king over Israel there. And old Saul was just kind of full of himself, you know. And he couldn't wait on Samuel to take care of the sacrifice. He got all antsy, so he figured he'd help God out. You know, sometimes we try to do the right thing for the wrong reason. Because we let other things get in the way of us serving God alone and being obedient to Him. And then we try to excuse those things. God is not in the habit of accepting excuses. At least I hadn't read it. So in 1 Samuel 15:22, he says, he's talking to Saul there. He says, to obey is better than sacrifice. Has the Lord great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? He's asking him a question. Behold, it's better to obey than to sacrifice, than to heed that of the fat of rams. You know, sometimes we want to give God something else other than what He wants and call it good. Be careful of that, because you'll talk yourself right into being wrong. You'll be looking for something that you want to do instead of what He wants to do. And you will be in the wrong every time, no matter how good it is. And I'll tell you another thing. If He tells you to do something, if He tells you to give something, give what He told you to give. You know, Ananias and Sapphira, they found out that they made a promise that they was going to give what that land was worth. You remember what happened to them, don't you? We don't want nobody dropping dead in the sanctuary, okay? Be careful of that. Do exactly what God has asked you to do. Be obedient. Be obedient. Very imperative that you don't reject God by being disobedient. It could lead to you being rejected by Him. You can read a little bit further in 1 Samuel 15 there. It's in there. Because you see, he rejected Saul over that one thing right there. He rejected him. That was a pretty serious thing, to take matters into your own hands, to offer a sacrifice when you were not purified as that prophet or priest. That was serious business. God took it serious. And Saul paid the price. He paid the price. One more thing. To know God as your Father, there's another requirement. And that's called worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And that's what he told the Samaritan woman. Those that worship him shall worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, what do you think that is? Right here. From all that is in you, from your being. Paul said over there in the book of Acts, for we live and move and have our being in him. Do you? Do you? Because if you do, he is first. He is worth the sacrifice because he's already sacrificed for us. He is worth it. I promise you, he is worth it. You see, Jesus is revealed to you when you worship in spirit and in truth. More of a revelation of Jesus comes the deeper that you worship in spirit and in truth. Those of you that are looking for a deeper walk with him in Scripture, get into the Word. Spend some time with him. Spend some time, quality time, not time where you're thinking about all these other things and trying to talk to him. That's the worst thing you can do, is try to be talking to somebody and thinking about something else. And God knows, because he knows your thoughts. He knows if you're sincere. Line up with Jesus. He is revealed when you worship God in spirit and truth. John 4:21. Throw that up there for me, brother. John 4:21. Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. Give me 22 there. You worship what you do not know. Have you ever been there? I was. But it wasn't God. I didn't know what I worshiped. I worshiped self. That was all about me. Until I found out about him. We know that we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Give me 23 there, brother. But the hour is coming and now when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. You want to know him as Father? Worship him in spirit and in truth. Worship him from here. Worship him in here. This is where you work. This is where you find out about him. And the more you find out about him, the more you'll worship him. The more he will be first in your life, the more that you will love him. Go on to 24 there, brother. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. In 25, woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And then 26. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. You want to know the Father? Worship in spirit and truth. You want to know Jesus in a greater revelation in your own heart and a greater appreciation in your spirit? worship them in spirit and in truth. And you will have a closer relationship. He will become number one in your heart, in your life. Everything will revolve around him. Number four, prevailing prayer is what you need to know the Father. You need prevailing prayer. James 5, verse 14 through 16. Can I tell you something about prevailing? You know what prevailing is? That's overcoming. That's conquering. That's overwhelming. That's adamant prayer. I ain't backing down from it. I'm going forward in it. Prevailing prayer. Prayer that makes something happen. Did you know that your prayers are powerful? They're powerful in the name of Jesus. You've already been given that authority. And you have that power residing in you with Holy Spirit. Will we learn to pray in that power? Will we learn to speak His word in that power? Prevailing prayer. We know Him as Father. Prevailing prayer. Was it James 5, verse 14? Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. In verse 15. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. We talked about this the other night in service. Save the sick? I thought we wanted to heal the sick. But Jesus said, what's better to say? That you're saved or be healed? That you're healed or be saved? Can I not tell you that it's one in the same use there? It's one in the same. And then he said, if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Know him as Father. Go to verse 16 there, brother. I'm going to tell you what, this is good stuff. Confess your trespasses to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Are you fervent in your prayer? Do you not give up in prayer? Do you not turn around and go, well, I hadn't seen an answer yet, and I've been praying for 3 days now. Pray for three more. Pray for three more weeks. Pray for three more months. Pray for three more years. Elijah prayed and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. He's a man just like us. He's a human being. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. You can make things happen in the spirit. Things that are prayed in the spirit makes things happen in the physical. Where do you think healing comes from? By His stripes we are healed. He set the stage for us to walk out in power, lay hands on someone, and them to be healed in the name of Jesus. Don't forget Jesus. Because that power is only in you because of Him, and it's His power, not yours. He has given you the authority to walk in His power. Prevailing prayer causes an outcome in the physical by those things spoken in the spirit, asking and believing in the will of God. When you ask and believe and you line up with the will of God, get ready. Get ready, because the Spirit is going to come in and He's going to take over. That spirit of healing can take over. That spirit of salvation, that spirit of restitution in your heart and in your life, it'll come in and grab a hold of you. You will never be the same again. Unwavering faith. You didn't think I was going to get to faith, did you? See, you got to have faith. Unwavering faith. Unwavering, not turning around, not going backwards. Not a if so, almost could be maybe. No, unwavering. Unwavering. People want to hear what you say, and then they want to see you do what you said. And so does God. Because I'm going to tell you what, the opposite of that is called a liar. You know where their place is, don't you? It says all liars' place is in hell. Let's not be that way. Let's speak it. Let's live it. Let's mean it. And then we see it happen. Unwavering faith. James 1, 2 through 8. You see, unwavering faith is our part. That's our part. Just like prevailing prayer, that's our part. And God does the answering. James 1, verse 2. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Whoopee, I'm going to have fun because I'm being beat upon. I'm having fun because everything's falling apart. I'm having fun because I'm dying of sickness. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Next verse there, brother. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. If your patience don't get tried, you don't know if you got it. If your faith is not tried, you won't know that you have it. Anybody can float along when everything's doing good. What about when it's doing bad? What about when suffering is all that you see? Will you still trust Him? Will you still have unwavering faith? Will you still have prevailing prayer? Go to verse 4 there, brother. But let patience have its perfect work. You want to be perfect? Have your patience tried. That sounds backwards, don't it? No, but that's the way that it works. That you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. I'm telling you, walking with God ain't for wimps. Running with Him is not for the weak. It's for the person that's sold out. There's no other way but His way. That's the only way that you think. That's the only way that you look. That's the only way that you act is Him. And then you get to know Him as Father. Because I'm going to tell you what, He always comes to your rescue. Always. Y'all know the scripture. It says He won't put nothing on you that you can't stand. Okay? He might take you right to the brink of what you think you can't stand, but I'm going to tell you what, He is right there with you. Do you know Him as Father today? You know, my Father would walk with me through anything. My Heavenly Father goes even further than that. You see, my earthly father, like I said last Sunday, my earthly father, he's gone. And I have great memories of my earthly father. But I'm going to tell you what, my Heavenly Father, He is still right here with me. And He can be with you through any trial that you go through to perfect you. Unwavering faith. What's the next verse there, brother? Verse 5. If any lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives to all liberally and without reproach. You got to ask Him. You got to talk to him. You got to pray, and it will be given to him. Sound pretty simple, don't it? But do we do that? Do we do the simple things? You know, children do the simple things. They just believe. They just trust. Well, he said, unless you come to him as a little child, you in no way enter into the kingdom of heaven. We got to learn to trust as a little child. We got to learn to come to him as a little child. My Father. My Father. Is he your Father? He's my Father. Man, when we sang that song a while ago, it's all I could do to keep from jumping up and down, running around the room. He's a good, good Father. He didn't have any idea what I was preaching today. He's a good Father. Way better than that stinking life that I lived deserves. But once I met Jesus, man, you talk about everything change. That was better than getting them two cap guns for Christmas when I was six. And I thought I had arrived when I had them two cap guns. Man, I was king on the block. He's a good, good Father. An awesome Father. And if you know Jesus as your Savior, he is your Father. I want you to know him as Father. Not just God. Not just God Almighty. Not just Yahweh, not just Lord, although you need to know him as Lord, because if he's Lord of your life, you will be obedient. You see, I can't tell you what that looks like for your life. You have to talk to God and see what that looks like for your life. I know what it looks like for my life because I live in my own skin. But being obedient to him is everything. Being in total surrender to him is everything. Worshiping him in spirit and truth is everything. Prevailing prayer, unwavering faith. You remember that little song? Just what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh man, I'm going to tell you what. Does that speak volumes to your heart? Because you see, if you're washed in the blood, you are on your way. When you're washed in the blood, you become white as snow before God, my Father. You see, because he can see you with that blood applied to your life and to your heart. Where before with sin, he cannot look upon you because he says he can't look upon sin. And if he does, you're just going to burn up. But you have the opportunity for eternal life and knowing him as Father with the blood of Jesus. You see, he said it's not his will that any should perish, but all should come to everlasting life. And that's everybody, ain't it, Tommy? It's everybody. The good, the bad, the ugly, the hideous, the evilest, all. And we need to be praying for them. Amen. Don't beat them up in the spirit. Don't use the word of God to destroy them. Because there's plenty of scriptures you can turn around and make it say something that it don't. We're supposed to love them into submission just like he loved us into submission. He loved me until I couldn't stand it anymore. That's the truth. When I met him on that roof, He loved me even though he knew me and I knew me too. But he loved me anyway. Huh. Man, that's a father. That's a father that loves you even though he knows what you've done and everything that you've done wrong. He knows you and he still loves you. Let's go after them, people. There's plenty of people right outside these walls. They're lost and undone without Jesus Christ. They don't have the blood of God applied to their hearts and their lives. Their sins are not washed away. They don't even know what the truth is. They think the truth is off of that media screen. When the truth is in your book, that's the only Facebook I need is the Bible. I look in there and I say, oh my goodness, I hope I'm a good reflection of what's in this book. Because that's what needs to be in our hearts. And what's in our hearts is going to come out of our mouths every time. Let's hide him in here, folks. Let's hide him. That way when the blood's applied to their hearts and lives, you can jump up and down and have yourself a big old party just like all the angels. It says all the angels in heaven rejoice over one soul getting saved. Man, the day I got saved, I came home and told this woman right here what happened to me. She started jumping up and down in the bedroom, running around the bed 3-4 times. I said, whoa, what are you doing? I didn't know she was rejoicing with the angels. I had no idea. I didn't have any idea what happened to me, much less what was happening to her. But you see, when the blood is applied, your sins are washed away, you are completely clean. You get a fresh start in life. Your new life begins right then. When you have that born-again experience, you're brand new. Know him as Father. My God. It'd be nice if I had another hour. To know God as Father, you must go through the Son. You must go through the Son. That's John's favorite chapter, John 14. You got to know him as the way, the truth, and the life. You must. You see, there's no gray area there. You either is or you ain't. One of the two. Okay? And if you ain't, I'm sorry. You ain't going to make it. But if you are, I'm going to tell you what. Heaven is waiting. It's waiting. And rejoicing. Let's all know him as Father. And if you know someone that doesn't know him as Father, you need to be imploring them. Come. Not come to church. I'm talking about coming to Jesus. Because you can do that right where you are. You don't have to be here. Although that's nice because we'd love to rejoice with you. But they can get saved over the telephone. They can get saved in the park. They can get saved in the bedroom. They can get saved in the backyard. It doesn't make any difference in time or place. What matters is they know Jesus. That's what matters. And then the journey starts. The journey starts. Let's surrender. Let's be obedient. Let's worship God in spirit and truth. Let's have prevailing prayer and unwavering faith. And then let's have the blood of Jesus applied to our lives. And then we will know him as Father. My Father. My Father. I want y'all to stand to your feet. Let's just spend just a few moments. I know it's just all over me more than any other spot, I can tell you. These things get a hold to me, and I don't know where to stop, okay? I'll just be honest with you. Because he is never ending in spirit and in truth for me. He is always there for me. He's always pushing me. Go, 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 go. Grab a hold of more, son. Get a hold of another person, another way of speaking with them. I'm going to tell you, the sky's the limit. And one day you get to go be there. You get to go be there. All you got to do is grab a hold of it. I want you to pray in your own way right now. Father, help me, Lord.